too excited today or something. Now, I just warn you guys, I was given the okay to go a little bit long this morning. So, see, Rachel's giving me the okay right now. You see that. So I've often said that holidays are some of the most difficult, I think, for a pastor to prepare for, because a lot of folks are looking for this brand new, fresh way of saying something. And it is a difficult thing. It's like this big weight, and, you know, on my shoulders. And you know what? I've gotten to a point where I'm not going to try and share anything that's some great saying that you can just put on your Facebook or you can stick on Twitter. But I am committed to taking us right to what the Scriptures say, to take a look directly at the Scriptures, to see exactly what was proclaimed shortly after they found out the news that the tomb was empty. Because here's what I know that I know that I know. The way that we present the message will change over time. But when the message itself, the story of the resurrection, begins to change, then we've done something wrong. Because the message never changes. It is the greatest story ever told. And some of us have a hard time with receiving that very thing, to know that, you know what, this could have any effect on me. But I promise you this, that the events that we celebrate today, this event changes everything. It changed everything for all of eternity. For me, for those who were there, and it will and can for you today if you will allow it to. I want to share a video with you as we begin that's going to kind of help lay the stage and set the stage for us this morning. Go ahead, John.
Like most kids, I learned about Easter at Sunday school. Although it was never very tangible to me, I guess I kind of put it in the same category as my grandfather's old war stories. I knew they happened, but their existence to me personally lived only on paper or old movies. It never seemed quite real. As I got to my teens, I considered myself a Christian. And every year when Easter rolled around, we'd gather the family together and go see the church's Easter production. But that's as deep as it ever got. Getting older, there comes a point when life just hits the on switch. I remember this happening pretty quickly right out of college. And getting married young was a hard thing to do. Of course, I love my wife, but there were some struggles. You know, struggles grew into frustrations. Eventually, those frustrations grew into disappointments. It was tough. And having an unplanned child didn't make it easier. I started to experience anxieties that I never knew existed. Add in the mortgage, taxes, 2 car payments. I just didn't have time to feel insecure anymore. The weight of life has been unbearable at times. The pull from temptations just gets stronger and stronger. I might look composed, but the truth is, I'm afraid. I'm alone. I feel as though I'm the only one out there with these kind of issues. I mean, most Christians I know, they seem to have it all together. Why can't I? But here's the amazing thing about Easter. Christ's crucifixion and resurrection is everything I need. The absolute beauty in it is its simplicity. His acts weren't a spectacle. They were sacrifice. A sacrifice for me. Easter is not just a holiday. It's a celebration of the life-changing power that exists because of God and His love for us. Purpose, freedom, peace, joy, hope. All these things Jesus intended for me when He made that sacrifice on the cross. All my failures, my anxieties, my sins and insecurities, they're all laid to rest. Christ's actions not only saved me, they completed me. He died for me. And He rose for me.
So if you've got a Bible with you this morning, I want you to open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I chose this video to open up with this morning because as I was watching through this, I was like, you know what? I think that's something that a lot of us can relate to. I feel like that's an awful lot that I knew I could relate to. I remember waking up, not just every Sunday, but you know, even on those special Sundays, and going to church and walking through the motions because it was the right thing for me to do. And then I remember going through a time period in my life where I knew I wasn't doing the things that I knew here were right, but I continued to just walk through a motion. And it took a moment in time where I allowed my heart to overtake what my head was saying. And to realize the things that had been implanted in my heart, although I didn't want to fully accept those, they were sitting there, that they had been implanted, and people had implanted time in me. They'd invested in my life because they saw something that I could never see. And I believe that that's what Jesus did, that He invested His life, His entirety of His life, into something that some of us have never seen before in ourselves. And today, that there may be some of us sitting here that still don't see what Jesus saw in us. And so I want to take you to Scripture. I want to show you in Scripture exactly what He saw. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to read a few portions of this where Paul is expounding upon the very events that took place, the very fact of what happened. And he even shares part of his testimony that will hopefully help us and encourage us this morning. So let's start reading in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1. It says this, "Now, brothers, I want to clarify for you the gospel I proclaimed to you. You received it and have taken your stand on it. You are also saved by it if you hold to the message I proclaimed to you, unless you believe for no purpose. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then He appeared to over 500 brothers at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to the apostles. Last of all, as to one abnormally born, He also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by God's grace I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not ineffective. However, I worked more than any of them, yet not I, but God's grace that was in me. Therefore, whether it is I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have believed." I want to pause here for a minute because this is an essential understanding. This is an essential part of the gospel. When we talk about the gospel, we're talking about the message of Jesus, the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus being the one who walked on this earth, who was born of a virgin, who suffered every bit of human activity just as we do. I think sometimes we have a difficult time thinking that Jesus, the one that we revere and all, that he was a little baby at one time. And y'all know what little babies do? They eat, sleep, cry, and poop. Oh no, you didn't just say that about Jesus. Yes, yes, someone had to wipe Jesus' butt, okay? Let's be honest here. Because what that does for so many of us is that that makes him human. That makes him just like us. Which means that that makes him able to be relatable to us. And that's exactly who he was. And here Paul is saying, listen, I want to clarify for you the gospel that I've shared to you. I want to make sure that you understand the entirety of what this gospel is and what it means. I want you to understand, this is the message that you believed in. He says, unless you have believed just out of convenience sake, you've believed just because you're in a crisis type of situation and you didn't know where else to turn. But you never allowed it to sink in. If you're really a believer, if you're really one that is following after Christ, who has truly believed in this message that I've shared with you, then these are the things that we need to remember and we need to proclaim and the things that we need to receive today. But he's also letting him know, listen, if you are one of those who's kind of half-heartedly done this, I think all of us have done that at one time or another. You know, I've kind of dipped my toes in the water to see if it's good enough for me. Oh, but you know what? It's going to cause me to have to change things that I don't want to change. It's going to require something of me that I just can't do. Or even more than that, you know what? I want to do this, but man, I've just done way too many awful, horrible things that there's no way that anybody could love me, let alone a God. But then Paul even tells them about that. In verse 9, if you take a look, it says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." This is Paul himself, one that was taking Christians out, folks that would be like, just like me, and he would have drugged me out into the parking lot, taken a gun to my head, or allowed mobs to have guns and bats and everything, and he would sit there and he would encourage them and watch them and allow them to kill me. And not just encourage them, but enjoy it. Find pleasure in that. And yet, he says that the grace of God is what allows him to be worthy to be able to proclaim this message. Even as awful and wretched of a human being as he was, God's grace was enough. God's grace was sufficient for him. And here's the craziest thing about it, is he didn't have to jump through 8 million hoops before God saw him worthy of it. Right where he was on the road, and we see in the book of Acts that he's on the road to Damascus. He's on his way to persecute more Christians, to grab a hold of them and yank them out in the street, and to brutally murder them. In that state, in that way, God's grace was enough. Whew. That That was enough. Not that he had to get all cleaned up. Y'all have heard this. What happens if you take a pig that's slopping around in the mud? You pull him in, you clean him up, you put lipstick on him, heck, you put a beard on him like Todd's got. You even slap a little cologne on him. Yeah. The minute you let him go, he's still a pig. But see, the thing about it is that that's what we try to do with people is we want to clean them up, put them in a certain way. You got to dress this way, talk this way, act this way. But that's not what Paul is saying. He's saying the grace of God is enough. God will take care of all of that stuff. I thank the Lord that he came and he found me when I wasn't a very good person, where I wasn't very nice, when it didn't matter what I did the night before, he still loved me that day. And as a result of that, I wanted to change. The things that I wanted to do weren't the same as what I used to do. See, this is the gospel that Paul is talking about. This is the gospel that he is proclaiming. Because this resurrection power, the fact that Jesus rose again, it changed everything. And so that's why the resurrection is essential to the gospel message. This is what Paul is saying. This is what he is proclaiming. Verses 3 through 9, he says that. And not only that, but that when Jesus appeared, when he rose from the dead, he appeared not just to one, not just to a couple, but it says to first to one, to Cephas, then to the 12, and then to more than 500. Yet, this is such a difficult thing for us to understand. I would go out on a limb and venture to say that there's not one of us sitting here that doubts the fact that George Washington lived. Why is that? Well, we can go over to Mount Vernon, Virginia. We can see where he lived. Carlin just got back up from an eighth grade trip over there, and she said, "Dad, they've even got George Washington's teeth sitting there." I'm like, "What, were they wooden?" You know? But we don't question and we don't doubt because what? Because there were people that saw him. There were people that had accounts. We can open up a textbook. We can go Google it today and see things. We can go to where he is buried and see a memorial stone. But when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus, when it comes to saying that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is risen, hold up a minute. The same proof is there as it is to George Washington, except for one thing. There's no grave with a body in it. If we went into a court of law today, the proof is over and beyond enough to prove the fact that Jesus is alive. Not just that he is alive, but that he is who he says he is. This is the gospel that Paul is proclaiming today. This is the gospel that changes everything. And this is why the resurrection is so essential to the gospel. Without the resurrection, the gospel is not the gospel. Let's keep reading, because there's a lot more good stuff. Starting at verse 12. "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is without foundation, and so is your faith. In addition, we are found to be false witnesses about God, because we have testified about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Therefore, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom of God, the Father, when he abolishes all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death, for God has put everything under his feet. But when it says, everything is put under him, it is obvious that he who puts everything under him is the exception. And when everything is subject to Christ, then the Son himself will also be subject to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all. So Paul goes on here to explain the fact of how essential the resurrection is for our hope and our faith. The resurrection is essential for our hope and our faith. Because without the resurrection, then what it is that we are believing in is a lie. What we are claiming is not truth. And it says even this, it says in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. And you are still in your sins. Without the resurrection, our faith is worthless. That is the beauty of what Jesus did, is he took away all of our sins. He took away the things that we could never. He gave us an opportunity to be able to live life. Not just here and now, but after we die. Because here it's talking about the fact that the resurrection, and I heard this said the other day, that there's a difference between the resurrection and a resurrected body and someone who's been raised from the dead. Lazarus, when God raised him from the dead, he raised him back to life only to die again. But when Jesus resurrected, he was resurrected never to die again. And thus it says we will be like that. That we will have a resurrected body. That when he comes back, that we will rise. It says those who are in Christ will rise first. Oh, that is a hope. That is a faith that we have. A faith that we have in not just who Jesus is, but then the hope of that glorious day where we get to rise again to meet him in the sky, where his kingdom will be established forever. That is why this is an essential part of our faith. That's why this is such an essential part of the gospel. That's why this changes everything. That's why I can get a little bit excited this morning. Whew. Not about you, but I'm getting a little bit warm. Yeah. This is the good news that people need to hear about. That there is a hope. Jeremiah talks about that. That there is a hope and a plan that is out there for us. But it's not just what we think and how to do better and be better, but our hope and our faith, the plan and the hope that we have is in Jesus. And not just a dead Jesus, but a risen Jesus, a resurrected Jesus who is alive and well and sitting at the right hand of the Father even now. This is a resurrection and a message and a faith and a hope that Paul wholeheartedly believed in because he had witnessed it. He had seen and he had spoken with those that had met the resurrected Jesus. He believed in the fact that we were dead in our sins because of what Adam did. Verse 22, for as in Adam, all die. But he also believed this, so that in Christ, all will be made alive. He had a deep, not just a conviction. It's so much more than a conviction, but a deep-hearted belief in the fact of who Jesus was, what he was able to do. You see, the resurrection testifies, so it tells this truthful story about our faith. And attached to it are undeniable facts that as much as anyone would ever want to dispute them, the facts are presented in such a strong manner that they cannot be refuted. I was talking with a fellow the other day, and we were talking about a number of different things just in society and how it's just gone downhill, and it continues to seem to go downhill more and more and more. And it's because of all these philosophies and different things. And I said, if we as believers would really take a look hard at what the Bible says, the things that we are witnessing and seeing are no different than what we read about in the Bible. The philosophies, the ways that people were drawing away from God and drawing towards other things, it's much like what we read about all throughout the Old Testament. If you've been reading through your life journal, you've seen this. But the thing that we have to understand as believers, those that are followers of Christ, is Jesus said this, and we've read it in Deuteronomy a couple of different times, is that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We're really good at wanting to be very zealous for things, but we don't want to love him with the mind, with what he put between our ears. That he is the most intelligent designer that has ever lived and ever will, and that he gave us a mind to think. He gave us a mind to be able to articulate the goodness of who he is and the gospel message that he has implanted in our hearts. That's why it says in Romans 10 and 9, the message is in your mouth, it's near your heart and in your mouth. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart, you will be saved. That's how I'm able to not just love him with my heart, with my soul and all my strength, but also with my mind, knowing how to communicate and articulate. Much like what Paul was saying at the very beginning, listen, I want to clarify for you. I want to be very clear for you about this message. Not just of who Jesus was, but of the resurrection and the hope and the faith that comes from there. Let's continue reading. Let's jump down to verse 50. And I think you're going to recognize some of this that we read. Brothers, I tell you this, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Listen, I'm telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we will be changed from this corruptible must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Hallelujah. So you know what this tells me? As the resurrection is a promise of the victory that we have. How many of you like to play board games or anything whatsoever where there's a winner and a loser and you love to lose? You like to lose, Eb? You like to lose? For fun? Man. No, look at this. This game that this soccer team I'm coaching on Tuesday or Thursday we played and we didn't play real well and we lost. And your pastor is not a good loser. I'm not a good loser at all. And after the game, I let my team know about that, didn't I, Zach? You know? And I flat out told him, I said, listen, I am not a good loser. I'm just not. See, I read a passage like this, and I've been trained to be a winner. I've been trained to have the victory because the Bible says that we are more than victorious through Christ Jesus. Right? The resurrection proves the fact that in the end, when we flip to the end of the book, we win. The resurrection proves the fact that, listen, there is something that changed in our lives. There's something that is different in us as a result of what the resurrection did. Because here in verses 51 all the way to 57, Paul is being very direct. He says, listen. With an exclamation point, so that means you can get loud. All right? Listen. I'm telling you a mystery. Why is it a mystery? It's a mystery to those that don't know who Jesus is. So to unbelievers, those who haven't followed and haven't accepted who he is, from the first few verses of this chapter, this becomes a mystery. That, listen, not all of us will fall asleep, meaning not all of us are going to die forever. But we will all be changed in a moment, in a blink of an eye, at the last trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we will be changed. See, without the resurrection, that would not be possible. So there's hope for us that have loved ones that have gone on before us. Those of us that have loved ones that are still here that will go on before us. There is a hope that we will see them again. There is a hope and a joy that should be within us. Do we miss them because they're not here? Yes, but we have a knowledge, not just a knowledge, but a deep-seated knowledge and an understanding that it's not goodbye forever, but I'll see you again soon. And in verse 54, we sang about this morning. It says, death has been swallowed up in victory. See, that wasn't able to be said until Jesus came back from the grave. Death had overtaken everything, but he overcame it. And so it no longer has a victory. Isaiah 52, 8 and 9, it says this, he will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face, remove his people's disgrace from the whole earth. For the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, look, this is our God. We have waited for him and he has saved us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. Let us rejoice and be glad in this salvation. Why? Because he swallowed up death and the sting that goes with it. because the victory has been given to him. That's why we can say with confidence that when we know Jesus, when we've accepted him, when we've received him, and we are following in his ways, not the half-hearted way that Paul was talking about, but when we follow after him, we can with confidence say that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Not of our own selves, but because of what he has done and is continuing to do. So this morning, my hope, my prayer is that the resurrection has a little bit more of a broader meaning for you. That the resurrection today, you see that it's the entirety, it's part of the entirety of the story that we read, that we proclaim, that those of us that follow Jesus, that we live. Jesus said this right before he left. He said, listen, he said, I'm giving all authority to you. So what that means is because he had resurrected, he took command over death, and he says, I'm giving you all authority so that we walk in that resurrection power today. But it takes one thing. It takes doing like Paul did and being willing to accept and receive the forgiveness that comes through the sacrifice that Jesus made. It means accepting the fact that, yes, Jesus did walk on this earth. He did suffer that death, but then, yes, he did raise 3 days later, as we read about, as we've talked about, as we've testified about today. Meaning telling the truthful story of. And the Bible also says this. It says that there's an easy way for you to come into that relationship, to come into that family of God, that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. That's it. That is it. We're not going to dress you up like a pig, all right? We're not going to put a beard on you like Todd has, all right? And then in Mark 15, it talks about the signs that will accompany those who are believers. Whew. That's when it really gets fun. Gosh. See, with resurrection power comes all the things that Jesus did. Comes the persecutions, but the abilities to withstand those. Right? Because it's right here. It is written. The Bible says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Resist the devil and he must flee. Whew. Come on. Bring it on. Anybody heard that crowd, that new Crowder song? Run, devil, run, devil, run, devil, run. I love that song. Every time it's on, man, I crank that bad boy up. Here's why, because he's talking about an authority in that that comes. It's the same authority that Paul was talking about here in 1 Corinthians 15 that says that everything would be under Jesus' feet. Right? God even said that in Genesis where the serpent would bruise the heel. Right? And that's exactly what Jesus did. He stomped on it once and for all so that we could have a chance. Isn't this good news to hear about this morning? Isn't this just this is something that we can grab a hold of this morning. And so I want to do something. We're going to sing a closing song this morning. And I was listening to a song as I was getting ready. Anybody ever hear of David Phelps with the Gaithers? I mean, just a ridiculously great tenor voice. And as I woke up this morning, there was a song that just was in my head, and so I pull it up on YouTube and I'm listening to it. And I'm standing at my kitchen, or in my bathroom sink, and there's a portion of this song that comes on. And it says, "He's alive, I'm forgiven, heaven's gates are open wide." And as soon as I heard those words, I just began bawling. I'm like, what is wrong with me? The notion that I'm forgiven, he's alive, I'm forgiven, heaven's gates are open wide. It overwhelmed me. You see, I am an emotional guy. I get excited, I'll begin to cry because there's something that God has done deep within my heart. Out of nowhere, I wasn't expecting this. I'm getting ready, I'm fixing my lovely hair, you know? It looks good, doesn't it, Vic? Uh-huh. And the fact of God's forgiveness just overwhelmed me. Guys, that's the forgiveness that he has readily available for you. Heaven's gates are open wide. Will you just receive it? That's all you have to do is say yes. Just say yes and it's yours. That's it. Would you stand with me? I want you to close your eyes right where you're at. You know, I often do this because it just gives us a posture. If I were to hand you something this morning, you would stick your hands out to receive that. I want you to do that very thing with your eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. I want you to just stick your hands out as if you're receiving something this morning. And I want you to picture this, that you're holding on to a sign that has every sin that you've ever committed, every deepest, darkest secret that you want no one to know, and that you're holding on to that. And that God's coming up and he's taking that, and he's got a burn pile up here, a burn barrel, and he's taking that sign and he's putting it in the barrel. And he's giving you a brand new sign that says you're loved and you're forgiven. You're loved and you're forgiven. You didn't have to do anything but just hold your hands out and allow that to be taken away and for the love and forgiveness to be placed in your hands. That's what the Lord is wanting to do for you today. But some of us are wanting to hold on to that sign that has all the guilt and the shame, all the past and the sins. But God's saying to you this morning, just open your hands and let me have that. Will you let him do that this morning? Father, I thank you. I thank you for your willingness to send your best prized possession for us. I thank you for being willing to send Jesus down on this earth that we could have life. Not just life here and now, but life everlasting. And so, Father, this morning, for anyone under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I ask today, Lord, that today, just as the Bible says, that today would be the day of salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. There's no prerequisites. but to everyone that believes. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would have your way with us this morning, that you would search our hearts, that you would do only as you can. In Jesus' name, amen. As Rachel sings this song, if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to make him Lord of your life today, I want you to come up and see me. Or if you catch my attention, I'll come back and see you. It doesn't matter. There's nothing special about walking up front. Or if you have any need whatsoever, I want you to be able to do that. Because God wants to meet your needs. And if nothing else, I just want you to celebrate as we sing this song, because he's alive, he's risen, and we're forgiven. And heaven's gates are open wide for that. Amen. Go ahead, Rach.
Amen.
Every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your worth. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. Because I'm alive in you, and it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raises dead man's life. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. Giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your worth. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. I am alive because I'm alive in you, and it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raises dead man's life. And it's all because of Jesus. Every sunrise sings your praise. The universe cries out your praise. I'm singing freedom all my days. Now that I'm alive, so because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ covers me and raises dead man's life. And it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raises dead man's life. And it's all because of Jesus.
Second verse one more time. Giver of every breath I breathe.
Giver of every breath I breathe. Author of all eternity. Giver of every perfect thing. to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your worth. King over all the universe, to you be the glory.
All right, who's alive this morning?
I am alive because I'm alive in you.
Well, there's three of us. That's good.
It's all because of Jesus I am alive. And it's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raises dead man's life. And it's all because of Jesus. Every sunrise sings your praise. The universe cries out your praise. I'm singing freedom all my days now that I'm alive. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Covers me and raises dead man's life. And it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus I am alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raises dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. I'm alive.
Can you do me a favor and just give a shout and a clap to the Lord this morning? Thank you, Lord. I can't clap too loud or else I'm going to sound reverberations through the speakers. Well, hey, I hope that today you have gained a little bit more of an understanding, a vaster understanding of what the resurrection means, about the resurrection power that we have and the hope that we have as a result of the resurrection. And now you can go and tell others about who Jesus is. And that he is alive. And that he is risen. Guys, we've got plenty of lunch back here. We're going to have a great lunch. There's all kinds of good stuff. The kids, we're going to end up moving our egg hunt into the library and hallway today because of the weather outside. And we've got plenty of eggs for the kids. Please stick around if you're able and join us for that. But always remember this, that God loves you just the way you are. But he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Have a great week, guys.